For those that are, thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit here in this service today. And we step out of the way and we let him have his way in this service today. And Father, I pray that everyone will have ears to hear and a heart to receive your word. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Thank you for your call and your anointing upon me to minister this world, this word. And that's what I'm resting in right now, Father. And we will give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Now, you might remember last week, I told you my subject was then, and it is still today, a call to greatness, a call to greatness. And I want each and every one of you to know, I'm talking to each one of you individually, that you can be greater than you are right now. Amen. And too many times, you know, we don't truly define greatness, because a lot of times when we think of greatness, we think of what our accomplishments are in the world. You hear me? Amen. What our accomplishments are in the world. But I'm talking about the greatness that God has called us to. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. What we accomplish in the world is going to stay in the world. But the greatness that we have in God, we'll carry that with us when we transition to the other side. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. That has eternal rewards. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. So let's begin reading at Book of Romans, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. And again, I'm reading from the New King James Bible. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Now, you know, Paul identified himself as an apostle of God. Amen. He says, I am an apostle of God. But he went on to say, before he said that, he said, I'm called. Called by who? God. Amen. He was called by God to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Amen. Which, this is verse 2, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Now you see here, Paul was called to greatness. Amen. He was called to greatness. Now, we all know about Paul. We read his epistles all the time. Amen. But he was called by God and he was called to greatness. Look at verse 6, but let me read verse 5 again, then we'll read on down. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Everybody say, for his name.
For his name.
Hallelujah. Not Paul's name, for his name. Verse 6, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. Say, I'm called.
I'm called.
Come on, say it again.
I'm called.
Say, I have a place in the ministry. Amen. You've been called to ministry. You've been called to ministry. Let me read on. To all, this is verse 7, to all who are in Rome, or wherever you are, beloved of God, called to be what? The first calling that any of us receive is the calling to be a child of God. You have been called. You have been called into the family of God. Isn't that great? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So never forget that you have been called to greatness. Now, I began last week to talk to you about how to become great in the kingdom of God. And the first thing I mentioned was humility. Humility. We must humble ourselves before God. If God's going to use you, or me, we got to humble ourselves in His presence. Amen. We got to be humble. And then last week also, we talked about that we have to present our bodies. Let's go back there again real quick. Romans chapter 12. We're moving rather rapidly, but I just want to review this just a moment. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, and we read this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Which is your reasonable service. So now, we understand then that if we are going to be great in God's kingdom, if we're called to greatness, amen? We're called to greatness. Therefore, first thing we're going to have to do, or the next thing we're going to have to do, is present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. In other words, what we're saying is, God, here I am. You can use me. Lord, here I am. Use me. Lord, here I am. Use me. Without stipulations. Oh, that's the hard part. We want God to use us many times, but we have stipulations where, Lord, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that, or Lord, I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do that, you know. But we are to present our bodies, ourselves, to God as a living sacrifice for Him to use for His glory and for His pleasure. Now, how many of you know? Be honest with me. How many of you know? First of all, I know the answer to this, but I think I know the answer to this. But I'm going to ask you to raise your hand anyway. How many of you you know you're saved? Go ahead and raise your hand. You know you're saved. You know you're saved. Praise God. You know you're saved. Now, how many of you know this? You are saved. But you don't belong to you. You know that? The Word of God tells us that we have been bought with a price. We have been paid for. It costs Jesus something to get us back. See that? No wonder the Apostle Paul would refer to himself many times in his letters as a bond servant to the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he was saying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done in my life. Everything that I wanted, you know, I counted as dung, that I may win Christ, that I may live for him, that I may be great in his kingdom. You still here? Amen. So he would say, I am a bond servant to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm bonded to him forever. I don't belong to me anymore. I used to do my own thing when I wanted to do it, how long I wanted to do it, and how long I wanted to do it. But now I belong to Christ. Now, a lot of people hear that and say, man, you know, I mean, that sounds like bondage to me. When Paul was calling himself a bond servant, what he was really saying is, I've been set free. I'm committed to Christ. I'm totally committed to Christ, but I am a free man. Hallelujah. You cannot totally surrender to Jesus Christ and not be free. You're looking at a free man today. Hallelujah. And you know, I'm thinking of something, but I'm not going there. Not today anyway. But folks, we got to know we're free in Christ Jesus. Amen. Don't tell me I'm not free. Whom the Son sets free is what?
Free indeed.
Whom the Son sets free is?
Free indeed.
Well, my goodness, if we know we're free indeed, why don't some of us act like it? Rather than griping and complaining and belly aching, just walk in your freedom. We are governed by a different kingdom. We're citizens of heaven. And our God owned everything on this earth. He owned the gold. He owns the silver. He owns all the cattle. And he's able to get me anything I need. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Here's the thing. When we commit ourselves to him, we set ourselves free.
Amen.
I need to say that again. When we totally sell out, I'm saying a little different way. When we totally sell out to Jesus, what we're really doing is getting ourselves set free. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's called true freedom. Amen?
Amen.
Glory be to God. And then we're told to renew our mind. So while we're at Romans chapter 12, again, verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed how? By the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. I don't think the way I used to. I'm reviewing. It's kind of hard to get off of this because I want to move on. But brothers and sisters, you gotta know you're free. But a free man don't think the way a slave man does. A free man doesn't think the same way a person that's enslaved. A free man, though, does not think the way a person that's in bondage. Whole different mindset. And it comes with truly knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. We sing a song around here sometime, I know who I am. There's too many people that don't know who they are in Christ Jesus. See, being a Christian is not just is not being religious. It's being set free. It's walking in your freedom, living in your freedom. Knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. And when you face a challenge in your life, you know I have victory over that. So you walk right through it. Because you know you're not walking by yourself. And you're walking, standing on what God has said. Why? Because I am free. Since I'm free, I refuse to be in bondage to anything. But have that attitude, you got to have a renewed mind. Got to have a renewed mind. All right, verse 2 again. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. So you don't get it without renewing your mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Y'all still with me?
Amen.
We'll deal with that some more at another time. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1. How many of you here today, you are in pursuit of greatness? Anybody? Amen. Let me see your hands. If you're in pursuit of greatness, raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. Amen. And some of you say, well, I don't exactly know what you're talking about. You will. But I'm talking about greatness in God. Great in God's kingdom. Amen. Now, let's read here in 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant. Well, we heard that before, haven't we? Here's another one. Just like the Apostle Paul. He says, I'm a bondservant. I'm totally to committed to Christ Jesus. I'm totally committed to his call upon my life. Whatever he wants, that's what I want. How many of you are bold enough to tell the Lord that? How many of you got guts? Intestinal fortitude that you can lift both hands to the Lord and say, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want. You can do that. Go ahead and tell him that. Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want. Whatever you want, that's what I want. Whatever you want, Lord, that's what I want.
Amen.
Because we have to take on an eternal mindset rather than just today. Hallelujah. Whatever he wants today, that's what I want. Whatever he wants tomorrow, that's what I want. Because he and I are going to be together throughout all eternity. So let me, 1 Peter 1 again. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith. Say, that's me. With us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, or Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue. Now, grab a hold of that just a minute. Now, get this in your spirit. This is 2 Peter chapter 1. This is verse 3. As his divine power has given. Now, has is past tense. Is that right? Right? Has is past tense. So now, as his divine power has given to us, listen to this, all things. Grab a hold of that. Don't let it slip. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And how did it come? Through the knowledge of him who did what? Called us by glory and virtue. Hallelujah. God has already, through Christ Jesus, given us everything we need pertaining to life, pertaining to godliness. Okay, preacher, why don't I have it? Stay with me. I want you to stay with me today. But I want you to, before we go any further, I want you to know that God, through Christ Jesus, has already given you everything you need in this earth. Now, it may not be in your hand. It may not be in your bank account. But God has given us everything we need. He's already done that. But they don't come, in other words, they don't manifest like ripe apples off falling off a tree. And that, folks, understand this. There's no way around this. Listen to me good. There is absolutely no way around this. We must work with God. If you want these things to manifest in your life, you must work with him. We are co-laborers together with him. Jesus says, I'm going away, but I will not leave you comfortless or as orphans. He says, but I am going to send the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to you, and he will do what? He will lead you, and he will guide you, and he will even show you things to come. Don't tell me God's got us down here on this earth, and he's forsaken us, and we don't know what in the world's going on. He hasn't done that. We're not orphans. We haven't been left alone. Even sometime if you feel alone, he is right there with you. He's right there with you. He's right there with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He is with us. He is with us. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let me read on. Verse 4. By which have been given to us. Again, it's already happened. It's been given to us. Exceedingly great. I like that. Exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be what? Partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. In other words, you're not worldly. You're God-minded. You're God inside. Minded. Whatever he wants is what I want. In order for me to find out what he wants, I got to stay in his word, having my mind renewed and listening to my spirit. And following him, following the Holy Spirit. Partakers of the divine nature. See, that's the reason we are called Christians. C-H-R-I-S-T, Christ, I-A-N-S, which means we like Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. It's something about him being in us. There's no other animal on the face of this earth that can walk around and say, I got Christ on the inside of me. I got the Spirit of God living on the inside of me. But we can say that if you're born again, the Spirit of God is living on the inside of me. Why don't you say it? Say it like, say it with authority. Go ahead and say it.
The Spirit of God.
Come on, say it again. Say it with authority. Woo! Didn't something just jump on the inside of you when you said that? You just felt something. I know I use the word feel. You felt something on the inside of you just go, woo! Spirit of Christ lives on the inside of me. Praise God. Because he lives. And I like this song. I tried to think of this song the other day and couldn't think of it, but I'm thinking. Come on. Sing this with me. Those of you watching, y'all join in. Sing it too. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, and he's living in us, all fear is gone. Help me out. Because no, he holds my future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Oh, go ahead and give him praise. Folks out there, why don't y'all praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Now, let's go back. Let's go back to, I'm having so much fun, the time just flying by. Amen. All right. Let's go back to verse 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Why? Because we are partakers of the divine nature. Therefore, we have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Because we are in this world, but we are not. Say it again. We are
in this world,
but we are not
of this world.
We're in this world, but we are not of this world. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Now, go just a few more minutes. Verse 5. But also for this very reason. See, we in pursuit of greatness. Hallelujah. We've been called to greatness. We're in pursuit of greatness. In other words, we're fulfilling our call. But also, verse 5, for this very reason, given all diligence. See, now, if you're going to be great, you got to do this. If you're going to be great, you got to do this. But also for this reason, given all diligence. That word diligence means put some effort behind it. Work at it. Every day, work at it. Given all diligence, add to your faith. Now, we add it to our faith because we're born again. God has given to every man faith, all right? It took faith to get saved, didn't it?
Amen.
Amen. God's given to every man the measure of faith. And so it took faith. We heard the word of God, and we were born again when we received Jesus into our lives. By faith. Now, we see here in verse 5, it says, but also for this reason, given all diligence, add to your faith. Now you're saved, all right? You're a Christian. Now here's some things you need to do. Add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith virtue. I'm destined for greatness, so I've got to add to my faith virtue, which simply means moral excellence. In other words, I'm going to live a moral life. Moral excellence, moral goodness. Sometimes Christians wonder why they live, why they're seemingly living a defeated life or living a defeated life. And sometimes it may have something to do with your lifestyle, even though you've received Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. But there's a thing, brothers and sisters, called repentance. Repentance. Repentance means that you change your mind about sin. You change your mind about the way you have been living. Listen, I just have to give it to you from the Word of God. If you are shacking up, if you shacking when you got saved, you need to repent now that you saved. And now you got to make a decision. I got Jesus right here, and I got this person that I'm committing sin with over here, and I'm right here in the middle. Now, which one am I going to choose? Now, I know that's not popular preaching, but I'm not trying to be popular. When God called me, he didn't say anything about I'm making you popular. We have to make some decisions. Whatever your lifestyle was like before you got saved, when you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's time to repent. It's time to change your mind. It's time to make 180 degrees. But don't fear. He will help you. Please remember this. Don't you ever forget this. God will never tell you to do anything that you are not able to do through him. Amen. Remember, Jesus said, I'm going to send you another comforter, helper. He will help you. You don't have to live a lifestyle of sin. Now, let me repeat that. You do not have to live a lifestyle of sin. Now, they'll tell you on TV and in movies and everything that that's the way it is. That's not the way it is. It doesn't have to be that way. You can be free. Hallelujah. And God, as you commit yourself to him, God will lead you to a good wife, or he'll lead you to a good husband. Amen. My wife was sharing with me, a lady was sharing with them how that she was lonely and she wanted to be married. Matter of fact, she was in her 70s, right? Yeah, in her 70s, and she wanted to be married. And so she just told the Lord, said, Lord, listen, and I don't know what all her words were, but what she actually said is, Lord, I'm not even going looking for him. I'm not even going to look for him. You send him to me. You send him to me. And God did. They got married, what, about 4 years now? What? Oh, year. Okay. So, but here's the thing. She didn't compromise. This woman's a holy woman. Woman that loved God. See, we've been fed a lie that you got to compromise. And there's no, listen to me. I'm not going to get finished today anyhow, but I'm just going to tell you the truth before I leave. There is nowhere in Scripture where you will find that you do a test drive before you buy. I'll say it myself. Amen, Pastor James. You preaching good. The man or woman you're dating is not an automobile. There is no test driving allowed. You better know yourself that they are the one before you get married. Oh, preacher, it's just not any fun being so. Oh, yes, it is. And I'm so glad to tell you, be able to tell you, I was saved before I got married. Because that's the first thing for, well, I get you married. No, I was born again before I got married. Amen. And when I met this one of the first things I asked her was, are you born again? Because I was going to do one of two things. I was going to get her saved. If she didn't want to get saved, I was going to hit the door. Bye. But shortly before we met, she had a long talk with God, didn't you? Y'all listening to me? We see, we need to be partakers of the divine nature, not the nature of the world. And that's exactly what the devil want to do, get the world in the church. Folks in the church acting like the world. And they talking about a move of God, but everybody's worldly. They shout while they're there, and then they go out and do their thing when they leave church. I hope you're glad you came. Those, I hope you don't shut your laptop or whatever you're watching on. I hope you don't shut it off. I hope you stay with me a few minutes. I'm telling you the truth.
Amen.
God's called us to be a part of the divine nature. Add to your faith virtue. See, God can't use us just anyway. We got to decide that we want what he wants. Well, Pastor, you just don't understand. I have needs. I have one suggestion. Turn the shower on, make sure it's cold. Go take a shower. And once you cool down, get your Bible. Get in the Word of God. Who God saves, he can keep. But here's what makes it so difficult. I know I'm on this, and so here's what makes it so difficult. It's too many times, we wake up those sleeping desires. They are asleep, but we wake them up by watching the wrong thing, doing things you have no business. Now you wake up those passions. Now you got to deal with it. Let me tell you something, singles. You can live a holy single life. Am I getting amens only from the married folk? Okay. You can live a holy life. God wouldn't tell you to do it if you can't do it. But one thing you got to make sure, keep those passions asleep. If you're flipping through the channels on your television and there's a questionable movie or a dirty movie, keep going. Or turn the thing off, whichever works better for you. Might need to delete some things on your cell phone. Mm-hmm. Might need to delete some things on your computer, because every time you see them, it's going to wake up something. You don't need that. Folks, I've just been called to tell the truth. That's, I wasn't called to butter up anybody.
Amen.
And I do hope y'all are going to be back next Sunday.
Amen.
And if you don't like what I'm saying, talk to God about it. Because everything I just said, I can back it up with the Bible.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. But you have to understand, I am in pursuit of greatness, and I want to be greater than I am in the kingdom of God. I want to be more usable to my Savior. I want to be more pleasing to Him. Oh, my, folks, I've been preaching a while, haven't I? Has it been good, though?
Yeah.
Y'all want to hear some more of this next time? Let's have a church vote. Who wants to hear some more of this next time? Raise your hand. And now y'all welcome, y'all free to look around, and anybody don't raise I'm teasing with you now, but I'm very serious also. We want a move of God, but we got to be in the right place. We got to be in the right condition for God to move. God is not moving anything. We are His vessels. And vessels are supposed to be clean. Glory be to God. I'm going to quit. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your holy word. Thank You for loving us so much. But I'm so glad, Father, You give us the power. You give us the